Christ is coming again to finally and fully be with us. God with us. Could there be anything more significant or shocking? God coming to us. Coming to Elizabeth and Mary, coming to Joseph and some shepherds. This is the promise of Advent. Okay, you can open your eyes now. So we're exploring the theme, God with us. And to do that, we're looking at the people God came to in the days and months leading up to Jesus' birth. In some ways, I think their stories feel otherworldly, and in other ways, I think these are people a lot like us. So last week, Chris started with Elizabeth and Zechariah, and this week, we are going to take a look at Mary. To do that, I have invited some branch students to help us out this morning. We are going to explore the passage in the same way that we do every other week at branch students, using an ancient practice called Lectio Divina. So we have done that several times here at church as well, so many of you are probably familiar with it. But just in case it's new to you, I've got some friends who are going to come and describe the steps for us. So our describers, come on up.
First step is to read or listen to the passage. Be open. Take your time. On the second reading, begin to look for a word or phrase that sticks out to you. If nothing sticks out to you, that's okay. Just pick a word or phrase, or try to take the whole reading in.
The second step is to think. Why do you think that word or phrase stuck out to you? What is going on in that part of the passage? As you think about it, how do you feel? Begin to wonder if God is using the word to invite you to do something, to let go of something, to know something new or more fully about God or yourself.
The third step is pray. This is a simple and honest response to the passage and the things you have been thinking about or pondering.
The fourth step is contemplation. It's the hardest step to explain. A simple way to think of it is to rest in God's presence. Rest in the love that God has for you. Allow God's Spirit to draw you close and fill you with his love, grace, and peace.
Thank you. So those are the basic steps of Lectio. In the Latin, I think it is, it's Lectio is the reading. We'll actually be listening today. Meditatio is the thinking part, the meditation part. Oratio is the praying part. And contemplatio is the contemplation part. So this is how it will go for us as a group. We're mostly going to be listening, although we will pass out the passage as well. And the steps are on the back. So if you just kind of forget where you're at in the process, you'll have both the passage to use as well as the steps are on the back. So what we're going to do is we're going to have some students read through the passage, and then we'll take about a 1 to 2 minute break, just in silence. And then another group of students is going to read it again, and then we'll take probably a 3 to 4 minute break, and that's probably the meditatio, the thinking phase, during that second break. I think that first break is probably a good time to just sort of take the passage in, because it's pretty long, a little bit longer than typical for Lectio Divina. And then there'll be one last reading, and then we'll do 4 to 5 minutes, and it's in that 45 minutes where it's probably both the oratio, the praying part, and the contemplatio, so you can take as long as you want for that. And then when we're done, we are going to split into groups of, 7 to 10 or so, or 4 to, whatever group feels good to you guys, and just kind of talk about what we noticed, how the experience was, and maybe a little bit about the theme, and then we'll jump back together. So I'll invite the first readers to come up. The first readers, team one. And before you guys get started, I'm just going to pray for our time together. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the chance to be here together. Lord, we thank you for the chance to quiet our hearts and to just listen, to use your scripture as a guide, to listen for your voice. And so we pray, Lord, that whatever distractions we have, that we could let them go and that we could listen and truly hear your voice for each of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you.
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be, since I am a virgin?"
Mary asked the angel. The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to the born will be called the Son of David. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, and she will be said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
"I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled."
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her."
And Mary said,
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. In his holy name, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud of their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and he will never end."
"How will this be?"
"I don't have a microphone."
Mary asked the angel.
"Since I am a virgin."
The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
"I am the Lord's servant.
May
your word to me be fulfilled."
Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
And Mary said,
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been merciful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home.
Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled with his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?"
Mary asked the angel.
"Since I am a virgin."
"The Holy Spirit will come onto you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail."
"I am the Lord's servant,"
Mary answered.
"May your word to me be fulfilled."
Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
So one of the things I love about Lectio is the multiple readings of the passage. I often find that if I'm preparing, and actually as I was preparing for this, I thought, is three too much? It's a long passage. But then that third reading is when I'm finally really at a place where I can listen, and I've sort of dropped some of the other things. So for me, what really struck me today was where the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." That's a really good greeting. And then it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And as I sat with it for a little bit, and actually often when I'm trying to facilitate, I have a really hard time engaging. But as I was sitting there, and thanks to the students' readings, I was really just thinking, like, how often is God's word to me gracious and loving and good, and yet I take it and I'm troubled or I'm scared or whatever. And so I was just kind of wrestling with that a little bit and thinking about how that plays out in my life. So now for you guys, why don't you get in groups of, I don't know, 5 to 7-ish. If you're close to each other, that's fine. And just share, like, what did you notice in the passage? And maybe why do you think you noticed that particular thing? I think that's enough. If for some reason the theme of God with us comes up, you guys can discuss that as well. Or if you're going too quick, we'll just take about 4 or 5 minutes. And then if any group, Chris, is that too much? 3 minutes? Okay. Yep, break, sorry. back together. 5 minutes? That was 4.5-ish. You can continue the conversation afterwards if you need more time. So, is there any group that had something that they want to share? No pressure, but if any group had something fun that they think the rest of us would benefit from hearing, that would... Yes? Why don't you stand up? Just so we can hear you. Right. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I know Matt said that he noticed the part where Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. And he's like, I never realized. Like, that's a long time. And really, that it was in Elizabeth's 6th month, and that, so that was right up to possibly when John the Baptist was born. So that's just an interesting, I've never noticed that before. All right. Anybody else that's just dying to share? Okay. I'm going to close with the same thing we started. Oh, Zeke? Sure.
So, I just noticed that adding on to the 3 months thing, like, that is a long time, but I wonder if Mary was, like, counting the months. So, like, maybe she wanted to help.
Okay. Maybe. Well, it does leave a lot out of the story, and there's always a lot to sort of imagine and wonder about. So it's a great question, though. Right. All right. So I'm just going to wrap up with the same God with us that we started with. God with us, this is the promise of Advent, that Christ has come to be with us, to walk this earth, to know our joy, our pain, our everyday existence, and to guide us home. And this same Christ is coming again to finally and fully be with us. God with us. Could there be anything more significant or shocking? God coming to us, coming to Elizabeth and Mary, coming to Joseph and some shepherds. This is the promise of Advent. Let's pray. God, thanks for your word, and thanks for inviting us to hear your voice in the midst of it, and to listen. And Lord, thanks that you draw near to us, that in the same way that you drew near to Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah, you draw near to us. So Lord, as we move through Advent, we just pray that we'd be open to your voice and that our hearts would be open to your presence in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
God with us. I don't know about you, but in our group, we were talking about how we have to wake up to that reality sometimes, that we're asleep to it, that we read Mary's radical prayer of what God does in the world, and we don't see it. And we wonder why, and then we realize that maybe in part it's because we haven't woken up. We've kind of fallen asleep to this way that God invites us to live. The phrase that really struck me is that God fills the hungry with good things. And the gift of this meal is exactly that. It is God filling us with good things, with really great bread. You know, we go out of our way to make sure we have a really wonderful loaf of bread every week. Or, I don't know, are they great, the gluten-free crackers? You can tell me. I don't know, you know. But maybe they are. So it's good tasting food. And I don't think that's unintentional that the things that God has used in this meal that he invites us to share over and over includes things that are enjoyable to taste. He fills the hungry with good things. So food's part of it, but of course this meal involves much more.